try that again. It's been a joy to befriend Brother Art Gilmore and his dear wife, Sister Chris. We sure have been blessed by their love and their investment in our lives, and we thank God for First Baptist Church. We sure do thank you for your investment in our ministry, ministry of prayer and support. We sure thank you for that. I'm not much, but whatever I'm doing, you've got a part in it, and we do thank God for you. You know, we're living in days when people don't have an understanding about revival because they don't understand the doctrine of the God of revival. We're living in a day when we've got the gist of it, but we really don't understand God. We're coming to a place where we can explain all the different nuances of soul winning, but we don't know the God who wins souls. We're living in days when we need a revival of reality, the reality of God. And I'm afraid that the average Christian, the average church in our country, has lost the sense of a real person walking in our midst here tonight. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Now, I can't explain how God can be everywhere all the time in all places. He's the God that's omnipresent. He's always here. But Brother Jeff Coates, sometimes He's here. And I can't explain the difference except by experience. When the God of this universe condescended to our lowest state by condensing Himself, God became flesh. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we need to have an old-fashioned dose of the doctrine of God. Almighty God. The greatest concept that will ever come across human mind is a three-letter word. God. You haven't even touched the hem of His garment when you think you understand the Trinity. How God can be three distinct persons, yet one singular God. If you had three personalities, you'd be called schizophrenic because only one personality could dominate at a time. But with God, all three personalities are absolutely in harmony, absolutely in balance, absolutely synchronized, and none of them overbalance the other. They're all three, one God. I say, you got to explain that before I get saved. You'll wait a long time before I can explain God. To explain God, you have to be as big as God. All I know is what He tells me. And God has said, I want to introduce you to myself, and He introduces Himself as a triune God. If we're ever going to have revival, we're going to have to start understanding something about God. A lot of people have tried to understand this stuff about prayer, but you'll never understand prayer until you understand God. It's not just saying a prayer, doing a prayer, being in a place of prayer, spending time in prayer. There's someone you're communicating with. And until you understand who it is you're talking to, you'll never understand prayer. And you'll never experience it in all of its wonder and glory. A lot of people, we have a misunderstanding about the judgment of God and the wrath of God. All the heathen gods of the world have certain attributes that are typical of or representative of the one true God's attributes. The only difference is they only have one good attribute and about a dozen bad ones. God, in all of His attributes and in all of His activities, are absolutely balanced. That's why He is holy. His love doesn't overweigh His judgment. But every attribute that God has is in absolute harmony one with another. Therefore, He's holy. He's distinctive from everything that's called God. He is the only true holy God. And until we understand something about the holy nature of God, the very essence of God, the very makeup of God, then we're never going to start understanding why you just don't get saved anytime you want to. You'll get saved when that same God holds back all the powers of darkness, all the confusion of religion, holds back all of those things that are vying for your attention, and gives you a brief moment as He passes by. He says, now make your decision. If you say, not now, Then cometh the devil and taketh away the seed out of the heart, lest they should contemplate it. Yes. Oh, listen. People say, oh, we've been to that neighbor. We've been up and down this street. We've been all over this town. We have passed out tracts. They know enough to be saved. They know how to be saved. No. We've got to go back. Because Satan has already given them 3,654 things to think about since you were there. We must minister again and again and again. We must understand the doctrine of God. In John chapter 17, Jesus said that's the very purpose of His coming. In John 17, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said in the Lord's Prayer, He said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is eternal. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's the whole purpose of His coming. The whole purpose of His going to Calvary's cross. The whole purpose of Him conquering the devil, death, hell, and the grave. The purpose for Him to demonstrate the Son of God's power by the resurrection from the dead is so that people might know Him. Well, not about Him. You gotta learn a lot about Jesus before you'll know enough about Him, before you'll put your trust in Him so that you can know more about Him. But there's something you have to know about Him before you're going to understand He's qualified to be your Lord and your Savior. It takes time. And it takes longer today to get somebody saved, and then after you get them saved, it takes longer to build them in character and ethics and morals and grow them up into a person than it did even 50 years ago. Because 50 years ago, people still had the Bible in school. They still had morals. They had character. And then they got saved. You didn't have to take them quite as far. They could grow up fast. Boy, now people getting saved in America, they don't know beans. They don't know beans about God. They don't know beans about His character. They don't know beans about the commandments. It's out of every public place in America. Well, America is now facing, and the American preachers are now facing, what missionaries have had to face for centuries. A godless society. America doesn't know God. But she was formed by God. Gifted by God and raised up by God. But we don't know her anymore. But Jesus said, that's the reason I came. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul said after 28 to 30 years of ministry, all over the known world of his day, on missions trips, one after another, in hardships and shipwrecks and misunderstandings and confrontations, he said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. What do you mean, Paul? You've known Him. You've been saved for almost 30 years. You wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. What do you mean, get to know Him? He said, oh, I've known Him, but oh, I need to know more about Him. I need to know more of Him. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others. So I need to know more. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied, Paul said, with what I know. I need to know more. But Paul, you've had an experience where you were drug out of town, probably dead, and you were took to the third heaven, and you saw unspeakable things that it's not lawful for you to talk about. You've been there. You've done that. You've seen it all. He said, but to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to want to love Him more, and to know Him is to want to know Him more. Oh, I tell you, have you ever got a hold of something that's so good you just can't put it down? Well, Jesus said that was the purpose of His coming, that we might know the true God, that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable in His death. 1 John the apostle, he wrote, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him, that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Listen. He said, that's the reason I came. That's the reason I wrote the book. That's the reason the revelation was given. So that we might know God. Do you know Him? Well, how can we get to know God? We can get to know Him as Creator. We can start understanding something about God in His very nature because of the way He created this world. He is a God that can communicate. He can communicate through the stars. He can communicate through the creation. I know the man's name, but I can't remember it now. But he said, the Himalayan mountains are God's braille message to blind souls that they know there's a God in heaven. Everything about this creation of the world, and you sit there and look at that tree long enough, you'll figure out it didn't just get there by itself. Everything about the creation of the world demands your verdict and said, God did that. Can't just have, get your telescopes. Look out as far as you want to. And as soon as you get to the limits of your abilities, another universe opens up. And you get a bigger telescope and another universe opens up. The farther out you go, the bigger it gets. That's why scientists just about have stopped going outward. They're going inward. So they get their microscopes and electron microscopes, and they look at the cell, and then they dissect the cell, and then they dissect the abjects of the cell, and then they dissect the DNA and the RNA, and they dissect, and every time they cut it, every time they magnify it, a brand new universe shows up. The smaller you get, the bigger it gets. You can know something about God by the creation. He is immense. And He's a God of detail. And He's a God that when He does things, it works. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Don't answer that if you say egg. I don't want to know that. That God that communicated to man. Did you know God could write? God can put this whole thing together, and God was smart enough that if He wanted to, He could have wrote this whole book. He did write some of it with the finger of God. But He wanted men to get in on it, so He opened it up. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so God touched people so He could communicate to man through people. You really don't, you and I don't understand how big God is. If you had to listen to the voice of Almighty God, no man could see God stand in His presence in our flesh would melt off our bones, our eyeballs would melt in their sockets. No flesh could stand before the living God. No flesh could have the direct impact of God's Word. On Mount Sinai, the people of God said, don't speak to us, God. Speak through a man to us. You better be grateful God gave His Word through the cushion of a book. This is the barrels in front of the abutments. This is God's Holy Word cushioned in pillow form to use at night. You have a head-on collision with God or God's Word, it'll kill you. On whom this stone falls, be crushed to powder. This work. So the reason we're not having revival, we're not getting real converted. We've tried to swap off the real God for our concepts of God. God said, no, you form your concepts out of what I say about myself. Yeah. He's a creator, but He's a communicator. He can even use men and use their own glossaries and their own vocabularies, and He can make them say exactly what He wanted them to say. Yeah. And if a man won't do it, he'll use Balaam's ass. Or Mike Thurman, which is either more convenient. I'm not a preacher because I'm so spiritual. I was saved by grace. I was called by grace. But I thank God that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. But my ministry has saved my life over and over and over. I meet people that tell me they're good Christians. I meet them everywhere I go. I say, well, you're a good Christian. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a good Christian. I said, do you go to church? Oh yeah, every Christmas and every Easter. I said, man, I'm a good Christian. I said, yeah, well, how often do you pray? Well, I pray at every meal. I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could get that spiritual. But God knew I was so weak and carnal and fleshly and liable to just do anything. So God called me in the ministry. So I had to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then driving between meetings so I can get to the next meeting. I'm in church all the time because it's the mercy of God. I don't know what I'd be doing if it wasn't for me being in the ministry. So I don't preach down to anybody. I am what I am, and I is what I is by the grace of God. But hallelujah, He put me in the ministry because it makes me read my Bible. It makes me study. I've got people counting on me. I must come up with a lesson. I must have something for it. What's that got to do with the message? I don't know. We can understand God as the Creator, God as the Communicator, God by in His character because He gave us 10 commandments. Now listen, those 10 commandments are 10 categories. And all the 676, about half of them are positive commands in the Old Testament, and half of them are negative commands in the Old Testament. But they're all fit under the 10 categories of the 10 commandments. Well, I don't commit adultery. Well, how are you on your fornication? That's all under that adultery thing. It's to adulterate. God has morals, and God said don't adulterate it in any way, shape, or form. And there's 15 different wicked sins that fit in that category. And those 10 categories are all a declaration of God's character. God says, I don't lie, I don't steal, I'm faithful, I'm loyal, be holy, I'm holy. Those are the express image of His, express description of His character. God never tells us to do anything that He's not already Himself. Well, I know further, those 10 categories are put down into 2 categories. Those first 4, those that have to do between man's relationship to God, and the last 6, man's relationship to man. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Commandment 6 through 10 has to do with your relationship to your neighbors. Commandment 1 through 4 have to do with your relationship and fellowship with God. I have people tell me all the time, well, you say it's sin, but I don't see that in the Bible. The Bible, we'd have to add 1,300 more pages if we started listing all the new sins they've come up with since the Bible was written. That's why 3 places in the New Testament it said, and such like. There's a lot of things that are wrong simply because they're in line with the same principle that made the other things wrong. Drinking whiskey's a sin, but it wasn't even invented until 1450 A.D. They didn't have that in the Bible days. Whiskey. The strongest wines would be 3% alcohol, and you'd have to drink it all day long without eating any protein to get drunk on it. People don't know the Bible. You ought to read at least the Greek classics on Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey. And he said, all good wines were 3 parts water and 1 part wine. Well, you make 3 parts water into Jack Daniels and it's not going to be over 7 proof. That's a lot of water. And the only thing that God made legitimate for a strong drink in the Old Testament was you pour it on the drink as a drink offering. It's God's portion. And you give it to people that are ready to perish as an anesthetic. Never as a beverage. Why do we not understand sin anymore? Because we don't understand the doctrine of God. God that has character. And he says, I want you to be like me. He created us in the image of God. He wants us. Why do we need revival? Because we're not representing him very well, starting right here. We need his character. Well, I say it's not a shouting message. It may not be a responding message. It may be a message you just have to think about for a while. How well do you know him? Jesus, that's the purpose of his coming, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. That I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his. I want to be like Jesus! And to be like him, you're going to have to know him. You're going to have to know more about him. So we can know him in creation and communication qualities of his life, in the character of his life, in the counsels that he brings, in the consistency that he shows by the covenants that he makes. There's many, many ways that God has tried to reveal himself in the Bible. And we're not here to deal with all of those. That's a full Bible study course. But if you can get know God in his character, that will point you to the personality of God. You can get to. You may not know much about my dad, but if you really knew his character, you would automatically know where he's going to stand on some issues. You may not know God personally, even if you're here tonight lost, but if you know anything about the Bible, you'll know something about the character of God, and you'll know which side he's coming up on. And that might make you want to switch sides. So if you're here tonight, you're on the losing side. If you're here without Christ, you lose. What are you going to say to God? What are you going to explain yourself to Almighty God? He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows why you're here tonight. He knows where you'd rather be tonight. He knows where you're going, where you're coming from, where you've been. He knows all about me. He knows all about you. He knows our thoughts afar off, and there's nothing that escapes him. And every idle word that we speak, we're going to give account of that to Almighty God. He knows it all. If I have sinned against you, Lord, why don't you just get honest with him? You know, my ears aren't designed to be your confession garbage disposal, but you can get along with God, get somewhere in your closet, shut the door, and just go ahead and tell him everything you've done. Tell him everywhere you've been. He knows all about it anyway. Just confess up. Just get in front of the Almighty Judge of this whole universe and say, I am worthy of death. And you'll never get saved until you are. It's the goodness of God, Romans 2:4, that leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And how does he lead you to repentance? He brings you to a place where in Romans chapter 2 that you are without excuse. He brings you to a place where you are worthy of death. Well, I'm bad, but I'm not bad enough to go to hell. You'll never get saved. God says you're worthy of hell. I remember witnessing to a man up in Sand Mountain, Georgia, when I was working with evangelist Fred Vaught and Sand Mountain Bible Camp, and we'd go knocking on the doors, and A.C. Durham, pastor of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, was my pastor, and well, we'd go out on Saturday, and I was going to Tennessee Temple and Bible College and Bible School and trying to get some knowledge, and knock on a door and say, and witness to some people, and boy, about 5 minutes into it, that man looked at me and said, you must think I'm pretty bad. I said, well, I don't mean that. I said, you're probably a better man than me. But he said, I said, but how many times do you think you're worthy to go to heaven? He said, well, I'm not that bad. I said, well, how many times do you think you sinned last week? He said, oh, I don't know. 4 or 5 times. And I said, ha! You sinned last week 4 or 5 times? And you think you're going to heaven? Of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, he's doing a lot better than I was. But I didn't want him to know what I was thinking. So I said, 4 or 5 times. How many sins did Lucifer have when God kicked him out of heaven? Just one. If you've ever sinned once, you'll never, never, never get in on your own merit. How many sins did Adam have when God kicked him out of the garden? And you think you're going to get in by not being so bad? You've got to be absolutely perfect to go to heaven. Nothing that defileth shall enter in there. Good news for you, I'm not looking at anybody qualified. But I'm looking at a whole lot of people that God qualified through His own death. Amen. His own substitutionary, vicarious, suffering death. When He said, Father, I'll take their place. I'll take their punishment. I'll take what they deserve. I'll give them what I deserve. If they will trust me. Trust me. How can you trust somebody you don't know? How can you trust somebody you don't see their power? How can you trust somebody who might lie once? If God would lie once, He might lie twice, and we just as well go get us a Sears catalog. Satan doesn't have to make God lie 5 or 6 times. All Satan has to do is find one lie in this book, and that makes God a liar. And if God lies once, then Satan's just as qualified to claim himself to be God as Almighty God. That's why the battle's over this book. It's why the devil sits on your shoulder trying to find a contradiction. You might have a misunderstanding, but there are no contradictions. The problem lies between your ears. Tune in to the Holy Ghost who wrote the book. We can get to know God. I bet it'll take about 10 more messages. Do you know Him? Do you know Him through the work that Jesus Christ did to reveal Him to you? A God that hates evil. A God that, though hand join in hand, He will in no wise acquit the wicked. Not one sin, committed or thought, will ever go unpunished. Calvary doesn't keep your sins from going unpunished. He ceases to be a righteous, holy God if He lets off any sin. You'll have to pay for it, or He will. And your begging's not going to get God to forgive you. But if you bring His Son with you to an old-fashioned altar, say, Father, I'm Almighty God. I'm coming up here with Jesus. Because He loved me enough. Just like You love me. You sent Him because You love me. And for the love of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost loves you enough to mess around even places where you go so that you not easy and not comfortable in your sin. He's the comforter to the saved and uncomforter to the lost. I invent new words all the time. I'm brilliant. I'd have to write my own dictionary, I'm sure. But we can get to know God in His character. And we can get to know God by the principles that He shows. This is where I stand. Tonight, I'm just preaching an introduction. I want you to think about these things. As we've got another preacher coming up here in just a few minutes. But everything I say, you better get to know the God that Brother Jeff Coat is preaching the Word of God from and about. See, this is This is the most important subject. If there is no God, there is no salvation. If there's no God and all this is just an evolutionary lie or imagination, then we're all going to die like dogs without hope. And when evolution is taught in the schools, that's why people act like barnyard animals. Because they don't know the God that created them and said, "Be like me. This is how I am." "Oh God, I want to be like you, but I can't." He said, "But through Christ, He can make you like me. He will take you tonight in salvation just as you are. As long as you have no intention of staying that way. Because He has no intention of leaving you that way." It's called repentance. When you want what God's wanting you to have, you'll get it. That simple. It's the reason we don't understand all these different doctrines is because we do not understand the doctrine of God, who gave those doctrines. Somebody said, "Let's don't worry about all those doctrines. Let's just fellowship around Jesus." Well, that's the doctrine of God's Son. And if any man bring any other doctrine about Jesus other than what this book teaches about Jesus, you're not even to let him in your house. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you have a friend. An almighty God that said, "I'm going to create man in my image. And when they fail," he said, "I'm going to make me in their image so I can bring them to my image. Oh, love that will not let me go." God would not just let His creation go. He sent His darling Son, made under the law, made out of as a seed of the woman, that He might redeem those that are under the law's condemnation, because the truth of the matter is, you will never break a single commandment of God. It will break you. God's law, Jesus said, cannot be broken. It will crush you. One day, if you do not get saved by grace, you will have a head-on collision with Almighty God. And you will bow. And you will be cast into hell. Where all Christ rejectors go. So I don't like that kind of God. You don't have to like anything. Until you're big enough to go out and make your own universe, you just bow. You make your own universe, you can run it your way. This is God's. And He says, "Repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you'll get to know me. And to know me is to love me." Oh, they'd love me if they just knew me. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings on the message. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we really didn't get around to much, except I pray that we made a little saltiness, made people hungry and thirst after a righteous God. If there's someone here that's not saved, help them to cast off their old life, see themselves as dead in trespasses and sin, and before this evening's over, swap their old life in for a brand new one. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to stand right now. Whenever